Lord, we want to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. Speak, Lord. I pray, Father, that this message will not just be routine, Lord, or just another pep talk, oh God, or just another little shot in the arm, Lord, but it'll be transformational. Hallelujah. That this message will be life-changing. That people, oh God, will be different by the time they leave this building today, God. Help the Holy Spirit passion and power to be in my life today, Lord. Would you pray for me right now? Lord, help the pastor to be passionate, Lord. Help him to be full of the Holy Spirit. Because I need you, Lord, to deliver this message, Lord. Open our ears to hear and our hearts to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe God is speaking to us. And this week, very, very powerfully, he's been repeating to me over and over again this message about going deeper in God and going beyond the I can'ts of life. Today, I believe God wants you to go beyond the I can'ts. Everybody has those I can'ts. You hit a wall, you've been there before, and you always seem to trip over the same rock. You always seem to hit the same boundary, and you hit the same ceiling, and you figure, well, that's just the way life is. But not with God. Somebody say amen, because that which is impossible with man is possible with God. And for those who believe, there is nothing impossible. I want us to start in Luke chapter 5. We're going to read, and it'll be up on the screen, the first 11 verses of Luke 5, so follow along. I'm reading from the New King James. So it was as the multitude pressed around Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, or the lake of Galilee, and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. In other words, they had fished all night. Typically in those days, they would fish at night, even to this day. A lot of people will tell you, if you're into fishing, that you can do the best fishing at night. So they were done for the day. Somebody say they were done for the day. They put their boats by the shore, and now they were washing their nets. Then Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon Peter's, and asked him to put out a little bit from the land. And he sat down. There was such a big crowd around Jesus that he actually used his boat, Peter's boat, to be a platform for his sermon. Because as he was a little bit offshore, he could keep the crowd sort of in front of him and not be swamped by the crowd. So after Jesus was finished speaking, verse 4, he said to Simon, now launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a catch. Now, Peter is a pretty good fisherman, so he says to Jesus, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. How many of you have ever been there? Lord, we've worked all night and caught nothing. I've been at this for so many months, and I've tried this for so many days, and I hit the same wall, and I'm just full of frustration. I'm full of a feeling of defeat, Lord. God says, launch out at my command. Launch out one more time. Launch out further than you've ever been before. Let go of your control. Let go of your own ideas. Be willing to listen to the master. Somebody say amen. And then Peter, he finally got it. He says, nevertheless. Everybody say, nevertheless. Nevertheless. At your word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish. So great, their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat, and they had to come and help them. They filled not just one boat, but they filled two boats full of fish. And those both of those boats began to sink. That's a lot of fish. When Simon Peter saw this, he knew this was a miracle. He fell down at Jesus' knees and saying, depart from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. He recognized there's something supernatural about this man. This is no ordinary man. And then he evaluated himself, and he thought to himself, there's no way that Jesus and I can hang around with each other, because I'm going to just blow it. I'm going to cuss. I'm going to lose my temper. I'm going to drink too much. Come on now. You know, Peter was like a Galilean redneck, but he was a rough guy. He was rough around the edges. I love what Jesus said to him. He says in verse 10, verse 10, do not be afraid, all the way down at the bottom. From now on, Peter, you will be catching men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and they followed Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe that Jesus was saying and teaching through this miracle and other miracles that he had done that the life that he was calling us to is beyond the natural. It's beyond the natural. It enters into the supernatural. God wants you today to live a supernatural lifestyle. Jesus warned in John chapter 10, he says, Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life, real life, and that more abundantly. Abundant life. Jesus is calling. He was calling the disciples, his first followers, to live a life that was beyond their natural limitations, beyond the limits of their thinking, beyond where they had been up to this point. That's why we put this on the wall here, becoming the church God sees. Because we are the church that we are, but we're becoming more than we can be because we're following Jesus. And you will become more than what you are because you're following Jesus. So your future looks bright. As long as you keep following Jesus, Jesus will keep calling you up higher, deeper. From natural to supernatural. Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Just listen to me, Peter. Cast the net out one more time. Just follow me, Peter. Jesus went into the city of Cana of Galilee, and there was a wedding, and they ran out of wine, and he took water, and he put it in these pots, and I don't know how many gallons, like something like 60 gallons, and there was a lot of people there. And he turned the water into wine. And it says that this miracle that Jesus did, which was one of the first miraculous signs that he provided, revealed his glory. Did he just do that because the bride and the bridegroom were embarrassed? Maybe so. And they were familiar with the family. Jesus' mother was invited and all the disciples were there. So obviously Jesus was trying to help out in a practical way. But it says that he did this to reveal his glory. There was something about going beyond the actual wine. He wanted to realize that your life can turn from that which is natural to something that is special, something that is full of life, something that gives excitement, something that gives joy, something that brings fulfillment. Jesus has power to go beyond our limits in the natural realm and make life abundant, extraordinary, exciting, and meaningful. I hope you're getting this today. You see, the I can'ts in life start very early. We have one granddaughter named Ella. Some of you will meet her someday if you haven't met her already. And when she was about 2 years old, between 2 and 3, my daughter decided to take her to a preschool class to see if, you know, how she would handle it. Now, she's pretty shy, and she wasn't speaking a lot at that time. So she was worried that, you know, how am I going to leave her here? Because she's going to be clinging to me. And, you know how moms are. They're very worried about the child being, you know, insecure. And so she thought she would try it out. And so while she's talking to the administrator, there was a little corner of the room where Ella was playing with toys. And so Ella started enjoying playing with these toys. And but she wasn't talking much. And then it came time where she was about to leave, and Liz said, okay, Ella, we have to go now. She wouldn't listen to mommy. And so she was engaged with these toys. And she says, Ella, we have to go now. Nothing. She says a third time, Ella, come on, we got to go. All of a sudden, Ella, who's this quiet little girl, turns around to her mother and says, I can't. She couldn't leave her toys. That was a pretty dramatic thing for her, you know, pretty emotional. She was attached to those toys at that moment. I can't leave what I'm playing with, you know. So I can't start very young in life. What are the I can'ts that are binding you today? I can't be a strong Christian. I'm too weak. I can't witness for Christ. I'd be too embarrassed. I don't know enough of the Bible. I can't get over my disappointments with God and people because it was too much. I'll never get over it. I've made too many mistakes. I can't. I'm afraid to give God full control of my life. I can't. That's a big one. I can't get over my fleshly desires. They're too strong. I can't. But I'm telling you, you can with God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you this morning that God is calling you deeper. He's saying, launch out into the deep. There's a miracle waiting. There's something that you could not do before that God's saying you're going to be able to do afterwards. After what? After you obey. After what? After you trust Him. After maybe one more prayer. After one more act of forgiveness. Maybe one more phone call. Maybe one more church service. That's why it's so important to be under the influence of the Word of God in these services. Because you're hearing the Word of God proclaimed. God can turn your I can'ts into all things are possible with God. Remember David and his men who was just about to take the city of Jerusalem. And if you're not suffering from the I can'ts, you could also suffer from the you can'ts. Have you ever had people decide that you were less than, and in their mind, no matter what, you were going to be a you can't? Have you ever had anybody like that in your life that took a look at you and said, you can't? You know, you won't make anything of yourself. You won't be, you know, get a good job. You won't be successful. You're always going to disappoint me. You're always going to disappoint people. The you can'ts. And David took his ragtag army and went to the city of Jerusalem when it was occupied by the Jebusites. And the Jebusites were very haughty. Nobody could get them out of Jerusalem. They were really, really stubborn. Have you ever had something in your life that's very stubborn? You just couldn't get rid of it? And it kept on yelling from the walls, you can't. And that's what the Jebusites did. They were yelling down at David, you can't get in here. You can't get in here. Just like that, taunting him. You can't get in here. 2 Samuel 5, 6 and 7, the king and his men marched to Jerusalem to attack the Jebusites who lived there. The Jebusites said to David, you will not get in here. Even the blind and the lame. In other words, we have blind people and lame people that are stronger than you. Even the blind and lame can ward you off. They thought to themselves, David cannot get in here. I like the rest of the verse, though. It says, nevertheless, say nevertheless. David captured the fortress of Zion, which is the city of David. Give God a hand of praise. Nevertheless, nevertheless, you can't get in here. You can't study the Bible. You can't be a leader. You can't be a Bible study leader. You can't be an example, a woman's leader in the church or a life group leader. Who says? Take off the limits. God wants you to take the limits off your own mind. And any of the you can'ts that have harassed you all your life. Have you ever noticed that Jesus often challenges and commands people to do things that they can't do? This is so interesting. He challenges people and tells them to do things that were just sheer acts of obedience at that point and faith. That defied their circumstances. See, God is not limited by what things look like on the surface. Come on. We need this. We need this message. Jesus tells a crippled man, take up your bed and walk. Wait a second. Jesus, if you haven't noticed, I'm crippled. I'm laying here, you know, all these years. Take up your bed and walk. Take up your bed and walk. And I just believe, I mean, you may think I'm wrong, but I just believe that man made some kind of effort to do that. At least he probably raised his head and tried. And when he realized that he tried again, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and the glory of God shone upon him, and that which was weak before suddenly became empowered by the presence of Jesus Christ and by the command of God who created the worlds, who spoke the worlds into existence. That was no ordinary person that was making that command. Jesus tells lepers, go wash in the pool of Siloam. You got to use your imagination. I just imagine, like, the leper saying, you know, not for nothing, but I've been to that pool before. You know, I've tried washing in that pool. You know, I've tried that before. But nevertheless, at his word, let's go do it. Hallelujah. And they all went and they all got cleansed. Amen. He calls Peter to get out of the boat and walk on water. Lord, if it's you, in the middle of this storm, please, Lord, call me to come to you. Jesus is walking on the water. He calls Peter to do the I can't. I mean, if you doubt all the other ones, everybody in this room knows you can't walk on water. Come on now. You might try to rationalize the other miracles, but you cannot walk on water. He tells a man with a withered hand, stretch out your hand. Which one, Lord? You know, stretch out your hand. The withered one. No, I'll stretch out the other one. No. Stretch out your withered hand. Somebody say amen. Amen. Are you getting my drift this morning? Blind men threw away their cloaks and ran towards Jesus. Disciples left their boats and their businesses and followed Jesus. Matthew left his lucrative tax collecting position to follow Jesus. God is calling you deeper. I hope you're getting this morning. God is calling you deeper. What did the early church discover about Christ that was so different than any other religion? When Peter was arrested and put in prison by Herod, he was about to be executed. Friends, when you are being guarded by 16 soldiers and you have two chains on your hands, you can't get out of prison. But guess what? The church was praying and Peter walked out the front door. Hallelujah! You can't walk out of prison. You have two chains. You're going to be killed the next day. First of all, I would be so depressed. You know, I mean, imagine how you would feel being guarded by 16 soldiers. You're one of the leaders in the church. Lord, how could you let this happen to me? Why in the world am I in prison? You can't sing worship songs when you've been betrayed by your own people, beaten and flogged within an inch of your life. Your feet are in stocks. You're in the inner prison, the worst place, with rats running around. But guess what? Paul and Silas did start a worship service. You can't sing in a prison, but they did. They did, hallelujah. And God sent an earthquake, and he freed them and all the other prisoners too. It's about time we give God a praise right now. Guess what else you can't do? None of us could ever give our lives and pay for the sins of the world, but Jesus did. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! None of us could give our lives and pay for the sins of the world. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Only Jesus could do that. He did. And then Jesus, in his full humanity, agonized with the will of God. In Mark 14:36, he said, in the garden, Jesus said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will, Lord. He was 100% human and 100% divine. He was fully man and fully God. Amen? In his body, he was agonizing. He was agonizing. The Bible says his sweat was like drops of blood. And Lord, he said, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me, Lord. But nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will, Lord. And because he said yes to God, you and I have become free. Hallelujah. You can't come back to life after 3 days of being dead. But Jesus did. Hallelujah. You couldn't make a comeback after failing Jesus the way the disciples did. But they made a comeback. Hallelujah. How many of you want to hear about their comeback? Jesus, in the midst of their sorrow and their fear, they're hiding behind closed doors for fear of the Jews, the Bible says. Because in their minds they were thinking, we're probably next. If they could do this to Jesus, what could they do to us? We're probably next. And so they're fearing and hiding behind closed doors, behind locked doors. And Jesus comes right through the doors. The doors don't hold them back. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. And in Luke 24, verse 48 and 49, he says, you are witnesses of everything that happened. You saw me die. You've seen my resurrection appearances. Please know that I am really alive. Behold, he says in verse 49, I am sending forth the promise of my Father, referring to the Holy Spirit. I'm sending forth the promise of my Father, and you are to stay in Jerusalem until you be clothed with power from on high. So not only did he make a comeback, but now he's about to empower the disciples so they could make a comeback. Are you with me? They failed. They forsook him. They fled. Peter denied him. Thomas doubted him. Judas betrayed him. Any of your failures in life, anywhere where you have stumbled, is not greater than what those people have already stumbled over. And if God says you can make a comeback, you can make a comeback. Hallelujah. When you have the Holy Spirit operating in your life and you are obedient to God, because the Bible says that God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. When you obey God, He'll give you more of His Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 4, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest. There was like a flame of fire over each one of them, symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The book of Acts is a testament that when you're willing to trust God, even to the point of sacrificing your life if necessary, and that's where these disciples were. They were at the point where their lives were on the line. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and not being willing to cling to their lives, even to the point of death, being willing to even give their lives. The Holy Spirit wants to look for willing vessels today. The Holy Spirit is looking for people who will say, Lord, I want to go further. I want to go out into the deep. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. The point of God doing this was to show them that with God, all things are possible. God doesn't call you to be a Christian for God. He asks you to be a Christian with God, with Christ inside of you. You can't be a Christian without Christ. Amen? God wants you to go beyond what comes naturally. He wants you to believe for the supernatural. And all of us need more of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you believe that, just raise your hand right now. I need more of the Holy Spirit in my life. More of the Holy Spirit in my life. That same power that raised Christ from the dead. That same power that came upon them in the day of Pentecost was the dynamic that changed and transformed a group of discouraged and defeated disciples who caught nothing all night long and came up empty. Hallelujah. To a group that was able to change the known world without televisions and radios and internet and cell phones. The church grew. The church multiplied. There was a dynamic in the early church that was absolutely supernatural. It's the only explanation for the growth of the church. They went from 120, and then the first day, on that day of Pentecost, they went from 120 to 3,000. A few days later, the authorities threatened them, and they prayed, and they had a prayer meeting, and God shook the place. The Bible says the place where they were praying was shaken by the Holy Spirit. And they began to preach the word of God even more boldly. And signs and wonders were done in the name of the precious Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's the missing ingredient. If you're sitting here today and saying, what's been missing in my life? I'm going to just tell you from what I've been praying about this week and from where I stand as your pastor and servant of God, I'm just telling you with all my heart, you need more of the Holy Spirit. I need more of the Holy Spirit in my life. I need more of the Holy Spirit in my life. This is what made the difference. Notice the difference. Now they're being arrested. These same guys that are afraid are being arrested for preaching the gospel, and they performed a miracle on this man who was lame, and this man is jumping and shouting and praising God, and they got arrested, and they were, you know, being charged with a crime. And Peter looks at the authorities, the Sanhedrin and the others, and he says to them, this is Acts 4, verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. This is bold right here. That's boldness right there. That this man stands before you healed. It's the name of Jesus that healed him. And then verse 11, Jesus is the stone that you builders rejected, which has now become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind whereby we must be saved. Now watch this. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, former fishermen, right? The establishment, the religious leaders said they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. That is the only explanation for the change that took place in their life. What you could not do before, you can do if you step out in faith. We have been proclaiming the year of 2018 as a year of great progress. How? How? Because we're going to step out in faith and we're going to love more. This is what we've been praying since January, that the Catalyst Church will have a year of great progress because we're stepping out in faith and we're going to love more people, love people with a deeper love. I wonder how many of you here will be willing to trust and obey God with everything in you. How many of you would be willing to untie your boat that's been so securely docked? You know, you remind me sometimes, and I'm talking to myself too, I remind myself sometimes of a person who bought a boat. And I admire it, and I got it tied up to the dock, and it's safe. I polish it, I clean it, but I never want to untie it and go out onto the ocean. God is saying, untie your boat, hallelujah, unfurl your sails, let the Holy Spirit blow, hallelujah, into your sails, and take you where God wants to take you. Where will the Holy Spirit take you? Where will Jesus lead you? There's a miraculous catch of fish somewhere. God's got a miracle for you somewhere. Somebody's got to throw their cloak away. Somebody's got to let go of an inferior security in order to gain God's greater security. Oh, I want to say that again. I feel this is prophetic today. Just close your eyes for a moment and bow your heads with me. Somebody here today needs to let go of some inferior. Take up your mat and walk, Jesus said to the crippled man. The blind men threw their cloaks away to run after him. That cloak was important because that's all they had to keep them warm at night. Jesus saying, would you be willing to let go of an inferior security? That which you think makes you secure. You know, if I only had the right man, if I only had the right girlfriend, if I only had a better job, if I was only brought up by better parents, whatever it might be, God is saying, will you let go of that and follow Jesus into a deeper place? God is saying, will you go deeper? Will you go deeper? I want all that you have for me, Lord. All that you have, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Fill me with more of you. Would you just take a moment right now and reflect? Somebody's going to get out of their boat and walk on the water. You say, well, Peter started sinking. Yeah, he started sinking when he took his eyes off Jesus. But he did walk on the water. Are you with me today? I believe if he would have kept his eyes on Jesus, he would have kept on walking on the water. Is there anyone here you've taken your eyes off of Jesus? And God's saying, I want you to let go and go deep. Listen, I want to be very transparent with you today. My wife and I fight battles in the flesh, just like everybody else. The natural mind, the flesh wars against the spirit wars against the flesh. How many of you know we're just as human as anybody else? And a dear brother that I know very well and I were having a conversation this week, and Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me daily. Take up your cross. It's hard to say no to what's natural. It's hard to let go of your mat if you've been sleeping on it for years. It's hard to let go of your cloak if that cloak is what keeps you secure. It's a security blanket. And only you know. Only you know the level. There's a promotion waiting. There's a miracle waiting. Just on the other side of this test. You know what? We're being tested too. But in my heart, I'm determined to follow Jesus. How about you? We get tested too. But in 50 years, I've never seen God fail. I've never seen God lie. He's been true to His word. And I believe I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I'm confessing my faith today. Hallelujah. I'm not going to confess my doubts. I'm not going to confess the heartaches, the self-pity, and all of those things that you could get into. I'm going to say, with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. I'm going to say with the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Somebody said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to an all-knowing God. I don't know what I'm going to do next year. I don't know what I'm going to do 6 months from now. God has gone before you. He knows the way. He's preparing for you a table, even in the presence of your enemies. He said, your cup will overflow, and I will anoint your head with oil. And the Lord says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. We rebuke all those discouraging lies right now. We rebuke the I can'ts right now. Come on, somebody needs to get a little aggressive right now. I rebuke the you can'ts. I hear that voice of my mother or my father say, you can't, or the teacher who said, you can't. I say, I can. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I rebuke the I can'ts. The Jebusites said, you can't get in here. Nobody else has ever done it before. One with God is a majority.